You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey there, Pharmacy Podcast Nation. Todd Urie here. Before you listen to the latest podcast, I want to tell you about the Avadem Health podcast series. Avadem Health identifies unmet needs and addresses them in a way nobody has, with a portfolio of advanced safe product solutions across a broad range of health and wellness areas, including a well-known product that has supported the Pharmacy Podcast Network for some time. For your patients suffering with restless leg syndrome and muscle cramps, TheraWorks Relief. I use this myself. The Avadem Health podcast series is a three-part series. Find it on Google by searching Avadem, spelled A-V-A-D-I-M, Avadem, and search Avadem Health podcast. It's a really interesting discussion on non-opioid pain relief, which we all know we need more long-term non-opioid pain relief solutions. Check it out, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts to the Pharmacy Podcast Network's entire library of content, and thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Here's the thing. You're busy. You're a professional. Maybe you're a pharmacist, and you know you're capable of doing more, doing much more, and living a more organized, less stressful, purposeful, and freedom-driven life. Let's talk, let's share, and let's grow together as an industry, as healthcare providers, and as a better unified community. It may seem like some of these things don't easily fit together. After all, what do career coaching, marketing strategy, networking, and pharmacy have in common? Welcome to the RX Buzz. Your host is a pharmacist, a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur, and a proven motivational career coach, Ashley Clevens Hayes. This is the RX Buzz Podcast, a collaboration between RX Ashley and the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey there, RX Buzz listeners. Ashley here from RX Ashley, and I have a new guest with us today. Tony is with us, and I just, you know, we've been social media buds for a while, and yeah. I think once you kind of live in this online space, you come across a few people that catch your eye, you get on each other's newsletter list, and you're like, you are doing really cool stuff, and I want to support you. And so I asked Tony to come on because I just admire his work. I admire your honesty and directness, and just quite frankly, just what you're doing. So Tony, welcome to RX Buzz, and thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Ashley.
Of course. Before we dive into some of the cool things that you're doing, why don't you, if you don't mind, sharing a little bit about yourself and kind of give us a background.
I'm originally from Baltimore, D.C. I married an Iowan, so I ended up moving to Iowa. And something we'll talk about, which is I basically ended up place-bound, so this was where I had to move. And I don't want to say I just made the best of it, because I've actually got a great life that I don't know that I could have had back east. And I've got everything that I could have wanted out of a position. I'm a professor of chemistry and pharmacology at a community college. I've got 15 books that I've written and published that make about pharmacist salary a year. Although Amazon did something that made that a little bit less so. But basically, we have three pharmacist salaries coming in. And I just wanted to talk to you about maybe some of the things that we could help these new grads, and then the grads that are coming out in about 32 days from residency, and say, hey, you know, maybe there's some things we can help you with as you're kind of getting those, you're doing your exit interviews. I think that's when it becomes real. The monthly payment, that becomes real when you do the exit interview and you kind of like, how am I going to pay for this? And I hope we can help those people.
And you mean by like student loans?
Yeah.
Or life.
I think it changes. There's always something to pay for.
I know, right? The mortgage, the car payment, the bills, the student loans. It totally...
I don't want to get you down this early in the interview.
No. Oh my gosh. No. It's about the realness of, you know, when you're in school, I think you're so head down focused on getting to the next level. Or even when you're in residency, you're so focused on the next step and like just getting through whatever's in front of you. But then the reality is once you take a job, you know, getting a job, and B, you know, how do you make this all work? Like, how do you make it all align? And still have like a good life.
Yeah, because I've got a partner in crime, and that partner requires that I be in a certain place, and then right. That directs a lot of things.
Yeah, and you have three young girls, so you're
that's busy. Actually a lot of fun, so it's not that bad.
True. No, but you're a busy guy.
Yes, I'm busy.
So tell us more about how did you get into publishing books? I mean, that's pretty fascinating.
Okay, I think Fit Pharmacist Adam Martin said it right, but I'm just kind of repeating it. But he said, "Make your mess your message," and my students were just not getting it. And I was like, "Why don't you get this? You know, I give you the PowerPoints, I give you the presentation," and they needed me to go back a step. And they're like, "Well, we don't have time to do both. So how do you teach them what they need?" And I'm from Baltimore, D.C., so a commute is an experience when you've got six lanes on each side, especially 495 in Washington, D.C. So I said, "All right, well, if I could put it on audio, would you listen to it?" They're like, "Yeah. But how much would it cost?" I'm like, "Well, Audible gives you that free thing for your first book and everything." So that was the impetus of it. My pharmacology class needed help with understanding the suffixes, prefixes, needed some help. I wrote the book for them to do on their commute. And
wait, when you were a student, or were you?
No, I was a pharmacist teaching.
Oh, that's right. Okay, got
students
it.
Of pharmacology.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
But unlike Pharmacy Nation, which has 300,000, Nursing Nation has 3 million. So when you solve their problem, then you are in a much better place in terms of the size of your audience.
Right.
So my books sell about 600 to 700 audiobooks a month, and I just broke 20,000 yesterday.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
I love that. So, and when you write a book, can you walk us through how you write a book? Like, what is your process?
I got to find a problem. So the most recent problem was I had some APPE students, and I was just like, well, what do I tell them? You know, what do I tell them about, you know, so the traditional route when I was getting out was, well, you know, even if you don't know what you want to do, you can at least start in retail or start in hospital outpatient, then you figure it out. No problem. And that isn't the case now. If those people went all in on residency, then there was 3,000 people who didn't get that residency. Right. And so now you don't have that backup. And I think it's understandable to go all in with plan A.
Yeah.
But the reality is that you've separated from the mothership. So you're not with your friends. You're actually homeless in APPEs, or at least I was. And you're kind of distanced from that. So you're still trying to graduate. Now you've graduated. What do I tell them? So I said, well, really, you just got to network. And they're like, well, what does that mean? So, well, you've got to talk to these people. And who are the people? And then you were one of the people, Adam Martin, your financial pharmacist. And I just started putting all these people together. And then I put them all in that Finding Your Unicorn Job for Pharmacists, 125 different people that are kind of go-to people if you're having trouble getting kind of started on what do I do next.
Right. And especially in the world, the virtual world that we live on, I feel like sometimes that's such a great way that you put us all together. And I applaud you for that, because so many of us are doing cool, innovative things, but I think showcasing what is possible to other people too is one of the biggest platforms that I think I represent unintentionally, and other, you know, my friends that run in the same circle. I don't think people necessarily sometimes need our services. They're just like, how did you do what you're doing?
Okay. Yeah. Well, your expertise, or at least as I understand it, or I perceive your brand, is if you want someone to get you through an important interview, you are the absolute best person on the planet.
Well, that's great. I mean, I'm down. That's, if you want to be known for, if that's what you think I'm known for, I love it.
That's what I hear. So,
well, I think interview prep. So what it is a lot of people, it's the beginning parts, right? They have the skills, they have the education, they have the knowledge, they have the certifications, they have the education, but articulating ourselves and really elevating our message and our, quite frankly, our brand, is things that no one really teaches us.
Right.
And I think one of the things that I did a couple of years ago is I realized, like, wait, how come, you know, why are my friends and colleagues not getting the jobs that they deserve? And I recognize, like, it's nothing to do about how smart someone is. It's really just about how you represent yourself. And so part of that is interview prep. But the other part of that is like teaching people, like we were talking about before, is like just going to a networking event and how do you talk about that, and going to a conference. What's the intention of going to a conference? You spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars going to these conferences. But like, you know, a week after the conference, you're like, wait, what did I do there? You know? I've been teaching people like how to get the most bang for your buck, even while you're in school.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm seeing now, or at least the feedback I'm getting in my inbox, is I can't move. What do I do now?
Well, that's
so I'm seeing placebound.
So, yeah, that's a struggle, right? That's somewhere where you have to get really creative. You have to think about what's important to you. And first of all, I have the opposite problem. I'm continuously moving. So it's kind of like, how do you deal with the opposite? Mm-hmm. You have to be creative. You have to be flexible. You have to do things that you might not have thought about before.
Yeah.
And I think the whole geography limitation is something that is ultimately going to hold a lot of people back.
Yeah.
In the sense of moving the pharmacy profession forward, if we're not getting innovative, in what I think.
Yeah.
And I think it just requires you to get a little bit more creative and innovative in terms of what you want to do out of your career, if that's in pharmacy.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that I think we're moving from place first. And so I moved to Central Iowa, and I absolutely did not look for a retail position. That was not even on the radar. And I was like, what else can I do with my degree? And I got an adjunct position, and then my adjunct position turned into a full-time position. So that was my road, which I completely didn't plan. And I think you have a similar path, right? You completely didn't plan the way that you went.
No, not at all. I mean, if I just told someone this morning, like if someone would have told me I was doing this even just 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, you know, it just, life has changed a lot for us. I was like hedged, like very confident that I was going to be a chief pharmacy officer, or CEO of a large.
Right. Your family did that, right?
Yeah. My dad was my dad, and then my grandfather was a pharmacy owner. And so I was like, that was the path I was taking. I have my master's in healthcare administration. I mean, I was PGY1, PGY2, health admin trained. I was so dead set on it. Well, when life takes changes, you know, different pathways, then you got to get creative and figure out what you're good at, figure out what you want to represent, figure out what success means to you. And then I think that's when it can all kind of come into place. But so many people get stuck in the, I don't know what to do next phase.
Right.
And I think that's where people, like your books can really come in and serve people, the audience of, hey, here's some new ideas.
Yeah, no, and that's what it is. And I broke it up into 3 pieces, which is the first people you want to meet is kind of figure out what you want to do. So what questions are you getting, for example, from the, you advise the USC students, what questions do you get from those guys?
In regards to what? Like,
so when you're, right. So they're like, well, I know, I feel like what I keep getting is, I know I don't want to do this. All right. But what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I just know I don't want to do this.
Well, sometimes it's okay. And yes, I agree with you. Sometimes I say, hey, that's great that you know what you don't want to do. Sometimes that's even better than knowing what you want to do. Now focusing on, okay, so that's okay. So now I know what I don't want to do. Now focusing on, what am I good at? What do I like to do? Where do I want to spend my time doing? And going after that and not feeling like FOMO or like a sense of missing out, or you have to do it all to pick up the slack for saying no to a big, I would say, majority of traditional pharmacy roles.
Fear of missing out. Oh gosh.
A lot of students have that. And I mean, sometimes I do too, but what I see a lot of pharmacists doing and a lot of pharmacy students all over the country, not in an isolated region, is just doing things because they feel like they have to.
Right, right. And I think there's going to be a couple of residents that are going to be sitting there after the first month, like, why did I do this? And because I really wanted to do blank, but I ended up doing this, and they'll struggle through it and they'll get through it. But what about those people that are maybe still kind of up in the air? Do I stay in state? Do I move out of state?
Yeah.
Do I try to make it in pharmacy? Do I get out of pharmacy? When do I start applying? So where do we even start when we're advising someone like that, who's just coming out of school, that maybe didn't have such a great plan B and is saying, I need a next step. I just need something to do besides studying for the NABPLEX, which I just started.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a few different things. I think a lot of people are acting in a sense of are reacting with fear. So they go with fear first. They're fearful that something's not going to work out, or they're fearful that they won't get a job. So they just take anything.
Right.
I think that's, I see that a lot. And then 2-3 years in, they're just like, what am I doing? You know, like this is not what I wanted. This is not why I got in it. This is not my intentions. This is not how I plan to serve my community. This is not how I plan to serve my career out. This is not how I plan to serve my life. So I think honestly, what it comes down to is really moving forward confidently in a direction that might not be correctly paved. It might not be the most checklist, most straightforward path. But I think a lot of times what it takes is just moving forward, not thinking that we're so special in the sense that a PharmD equals one or two jobs.
Right.
I think what it takes is, 50% of Americans are on medications. And of those people that are on medications, on average, they're on 4. So we can't say that the opportunity to make an impact isn't there.
Oh, no.
It's just how you make the impact just needs to look a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And what that means to you. So I think the people that are in pharmacy school and just, everyone in general are very, very smart. Very, very smart people. We're not the low class. We're like really smart people, you know? So it's not that we lack competence. It's, I think sometimes we lack confidence in going in a different direction.
Well, how did you deal with the very first time you found out you had to move?
Not well.
No, you tell me yours and I'll tell you mine.
Yeah. Okay. So I was a third year pharmacy student and my husband matched for his residency somewhere that we were not expecting. My dad had just passed away and I was totally expecting us to stay at home near my family and I could support them. We could all be together. And he matched totally across the country and it was a huge shock to my system. But the first thing I did was I reached out to the residency program director and I was like, listen, I'm moving there next year. So how do I get in with you? And I made it, work. And it was good timing for me personally because they were looking to start an admin program.
Yeah.
And I was a good candidate for that. And it turned out to be one of the best experiences and I don't regret it. It was awesome. As the university.
Well, I'll tell you my time.
Yeah. Tell me.
She didn't match in the DC area, which was fine because there's like 200 applications for every spot at Hopkins.
Yeah.
And she didn't really want to go there anyway. And I think the interviewer sensed it and we're just like, we're just gonna, she was qualified, but she just didn't want it. So then we did the scramble back when we had the scramble and we both matched for a residency. And I had had a career as a real estate agent for 7 years and I gave that up in 3 weeks. And so we just moved to Iowa City 3 weeks later, started our life as residents. And that was it. That's just how it went because the priority was my wife wants to do a residency. I love my wife and we've been married for maybe a year or two. So it was complete upheaval. That's how we did it. So we just kind of got together and said, what can we do? And we talked to the residency director too. And they actually were nice enough to talk to somebody to tell them that they've got a couple moving in and if they wanted a different site. But we did kind of the same thing where we talked to the residency director and said, hey, can we work something out?
Yeah. How about when you... tell us more about what are your thoughts about people moving in state and out of state? Like, I think a lot of students I meet don't want to move and they're scared to kind of go away. And
I think that thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah, me too. And I also think that holds them back at the same time.
Well, let me talk about first when I graduated and then I'll talk about that. Cause I moved to Arizona when I first graduated because the Pennsylvanians coming down kind of took a lot of the Maryland jobs.
Yeah.
And so there weren't a ton of jobs and there were jobs, but they were the float and, areas that maybe you didn't want. But then Arizona was booming. They're like, well, you can live in Tempe right by Arizona State if you want to. Well, I was like, that sounds really good. And by the way, we pay more. And by the way, it costs less to live here.
Yeah.
By the way, it's sunny year round. And it was like, California is, an hour flight to the west, Vegas is to the north, Mexico's to the south. And I'm like, sold, I'll take it. And that's where I went right after school. And getting away allowed me to kind of get out of that, I don't want to call it a rut because it wasn't a rut, but when you're in school that long, it's just time to just do something out of your comfort zone. And I think the best thing I could have done. So if I was moving now, there are 4 jobs in Tucson right now. There's a job in Kingman. There's a job in those areas in Arizona. I'd go down there and do it right now if I had just graduated. Mm-hmm. Just because I think you learn so much about yourself when you get away from your, you know, your support group. And while many people aren't moving because that support group isn't there, I think that's the best thing you could possibly do. And I think you wouldn't regret it.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe we have to start having these conversations significantly earlier. And especially because, I don't know, there's this whole notion of job saturation and all that stuff. And I've never felt that. So I think it's because I've been so nimble and I've moved around a lot.
Yeah. I'm place bound, but I don't see myself. It might be job saturation with a pharmacy building,
right?
But it's right now, I think we have the best job market in the last 45 years.
Yeah, I agree.
There are more jobs than there are people to fill them.
I agree.
But how is that's maybe the good next step is that how did you switch from pharmacist mindset to, okay, now I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I'm just going to start helping people in something I like helping people in? How did you have that inward talk?
Well, I started moving around a lot and realized that how am I going to make this work? You know, how can I have a big career, support my husband, and have a good marriage and still move and be flexible? I passed up a lot of consulting positions that required me to travel a lot.
Okay.
So I think I had it always in me to do something non-traditional. Mm-hmm. But then when I took a step back and I thought about, like, what am I good at and how can I help other people? And I saw, again, like I saw other people struggling at some of the things that I just never struggled at. I was like, hey, that's a thing. Like, that's an opportunity that I could help people. And what it comes down to is I have to get retrained on how to think differently, because I've been taught to think one way, and that's a pharmacist way.
Right.
And I think what I've pivoted into the last couple of years is really thinking differently, having a different mindset about supporting people just in a different capacity. And I don't think we're taught this mindset in pharmacy school or in grad school. We're right. taught it through hiring business coaches, investing in yourself, surrounding yourself with people who are also entrepreneurs, who are also doing other things, and really just capitalizing on how I can specifically support people. Like, I'm in this for service, right? But at the same time, I still have to pay off my student loans and I still have to pay my mortgage. So you have to make money. And once you're in it for service and you're there to just help people, I mean, that's been my main focus and that's what's worked. So,
well, let's talk about coaching then.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I made that transition to real estate, I thought because I had passed organic chem that I was smart and that I would no problem getting people and building a huge business in real estate. And I already had my big house on the water picked out, and I made $4,000, $2,000 of which went to the broker in my first year. And then I got a coach, and it's Buffini and Company in Carlsbad, California, as far as the real estate coaching. And I can't tell you how nice it was to, one, have someone to talk to.
Right.
I don't know how often you talk to your clients, but it was only twice a month. And it just was, what's next? What's next? Right. What's next? And it was so nice to have somebody following my path going, all right, well, here's where you went and here's what you got. And I didn't tell you this before, but when I left 7 years later with that 7 years of coaching, I went from 4,000 in my first year to 253,000 a year.
Jesus. Wow. Year. Yeah.
And it was because of consistent coaching. And, and I think that a lot of people might come to you going, I just need you to give me a couple sessions.
Can you just fix my resume?
And then all will be well with my world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it just, but you need somebody there for the ups and downs. And and I think this is maybe the mindset shift that I want to encourage all the students to get out of is, look, I just dropped 250 grand on my pharmacy degree. I owe all this money. I'm not spending another dime.
Right.
And I think that mindset of regret is like, right, but I don't think I should have to spend any more money. And I'm like, no, the you don't understand that the coaching.
You're just getting started.
The coaching was $5,000 a year, but I made that back in my first 3 months.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just, the multiplier was huge.
Yeah.
But maybe, I guess that's the best next conversation for us to have, is just, how do we explain coaching to a student in such a way that they understand that, look, you're in the big leagues now, you need one-on-one coaching. This whole sitting in a class of 100, it's not going to be that way right now. I mean, yes, you had your APPEs and you were partially the focus, but you need a custom plan.
Right.
So yeah. How do you set someone up or start someone off on a custom plan? How do you start someone off and say, all right, well, let's talk about our first step?
Yeah. Well, I think, and that's a great question. I think we're doing reverse interviewing here.
Yeah, I do that. So. I totally had to.
Thanks.
I might let you interview me the next time.
Okay. Because just to be clear, this is my show, Tony. That's okay though. So I think the first and foremost thing is I've kind of started taking the word coach away from my branding per se, okay. Because I think it has some sort of negative connotation to it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think people think it's weak to have a coach, like the traditional professional. And I don't know why that is.
Michael,
I think
Phelps isn't weak.
I mean, well, that's what I'm about to say. I think it's like, it's in the sports realm, in the high level executives, CEOs, yeah. Presidents of organizations, all those people have executive coaches. Professionals, athletes have professional coaches. So, but in like the entrepreneurial world and in like the traditional professional world, I don't think it's as looked positively on as we would like. So, I mean, I define myself as like a career strategist, career development, a coach.
I won't use coach anymore. I'll strategist.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, for whatever reason, I like to talk about strategy and how to really build yourself up from that point. And I think it's important that someone knows that it's not going to a coach is like a weak thing. It's actually meaning you want to elevate your career. You want to do, you have a bigger vision for success. Like, you have hopes and dreams and goals. You just need support to get there. And that's what a really good high level coach will do for you. Sure. To just give you that support and maybe some tangible ideas on how to specifically get there, depending upon your goals and what you're trying to achieve. And I mean, ever since I started investing in coaching, my career, my outlook, my entrepreneurial spirit, how I define success, what my boundaries are, have just exploded in the sense of clarity. I know exactly what I want to say yes to. I know exactly what I'll say no to these days. And it's just propelled my excitement for what I'm doing. And it's kind of refreshed me. I was experiencing a little bit of burnout a couple of years ago when I was just like annoyed with where pharmacy was going, frustrated with the opportunity, not the opportunities.
You're not just, the only one.
not the opportunities. Like, yeah. Again, like I think that there wasn't the opportunities. My issue. It was more or less the negative vibe of the profession.
Yeah.
And it started to rub off on me, and I'm not that person. And that's when I invested in a coach, and I think my whole life started to change from there. Yeah. And I don't think, and I spend a lot of money on coaching. Like it's a lot. So, $5,000 is for the year is very affordable for a coach, especially if they're making that type of impact on you. So, I think everyone needs this. Everyone should get the support that they deserve. And that's the reason why I launched that membership today, is because how can I help more people? How can I help people who have student loans? How can I help new practitioners who have no idea what a coach is? And so that's one of the reasons why I did this, is so I can get more people the support that they deserve, because everyone, it should be accessible to everyone, how to navigate your career. It should be readily available, but quite frankly, no one's teaching us this stuff.
Yeah.
So here we are teaching it.
Well, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to serve.
Yeah. But everyone has a different function in serving. Everyone wants to serve in a different capacity. And that's what I say. Like, just because I'm doing this doesn't mean you have to do this. You got to find what works best for you and serve that audience, serve those people to what you think is your niche.
Right. So I just gave away 500 audiobook codes.
Wow.
And that's my way of serving is I like doing, I'm the bagger Vance. I'll take $5 guaranteed. So I make these little amounts of money off of lots and lots and lots of books. but I've never moved into the premium stuff like you do.
Yeah.
I've just never known how. So.
Oh, well, if you want me to coach you in that, it's possible. It's attracting, you know, getting the brand out there. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you want the result, then you'll pay. And the more people, and here's the thing, I've coached people for free and it doesn't work.
No.
Because they're not in it. They're not invested.
Yeah.
So quite frankly, the cheaper the product tends to be, the less invested people are. So the more of the little bit of the pain of how hard it's going to hurt, then the more likelihood that you're going to pay attention.
Yeah.
So that's what I've noticed over this whole entire coaching realm of people really need to invest in themselves and feel like they can be in it to be fully committed.
Yeah.
And sometimes, unfortunately, that just means paying more premium. But that's okay. That'll get you to where you want to go if that's what it takes.
Right, right, right. Well, I'll let you ask the next question then.
Oh my gosh, Tony, how do we get on this subject? How did we get here? Okay. So if there was someone graduating from school today, what would your best advice be?
Yeah. So they're graduating today. Then you've got the people that are residents that are graduating in a month.
Yeah. What do you think their best advice should be?
Get a coach.
Get a coach.
I really have no numbers. And that's the thing that's so frustrating for me is all I get is people asking me for help, but I don't know how many people there are out there. And I think there are a lot that don't know what to do right now. So I don't want to ask the next question.
Well, what do we do? I mean, what should they do?
Yeah. I mean, if I was graduating right now, let's say that I did the residency of my dreams. And let's say that at the last minute, the job that I thought I had didn't work out. So we'll make it a hypothetical.
Okay.
I'd go to higheredjobs.com. It's a website where you've got academic jobs, whether they're you're going to be a dean or a faculty member or an adjunct. And I'd start looking at the positions and I'd start seeing, because I'd want to be in teaching of some sort or another, and I'd start seeing what positions I would qualify for. What do I need to do? Are there positions that are just a little bit off, like I just need a little bit of training and things like that? And that's actually how I ended up with this job, is I looked on higheredjobs.com, found that I can teach chemistry because I have a pharmacy degree, and I just taught a summer chemistry class. And then they invited me to apply for a position with pharmacy technicians, and then I ended up, you know, full time. So that's the first place I would go, is a website that has the jobs that I think I want, and I'd reverse engineer from that and start looking at what's missing and start filling in the blanks. But I would get away from saying, where are the pharmacy jobs?
Right.
I just start saying, I just want to get in front of people and teach.
Mm-hmm.
And not worry about being in a pharmacist school classroom. And I did teach middle school, and I did teach as a tutor for Kaplan.
Mm-hmm.
And I did those things. So I think reverse engineering would be where I go.
That's smart. I like that. But the truth is I just want to be clear. I see a lot of jobs come through.
There are so many jobs.
So I'm unclear. I think it's the visibility standpoint that people aren't being visible or aren't branding themselves as something. They're not representing something.
I think it's the, I need to pay $3,000 a month to make my monthly payment.
Oh yeah.
I should get a job that exceeds that $3,000 by a sufficient amount.
Yeah.
Then I can not only have the life that I expect, but also pay these loans off.
Hmm.
And I think that probably gets in the way.
You're right.
Right. Because when they say 32 hours for $75,000, I'm not taking that job.
Right.
And
but the reality is that's actually not a bad gig.
It's not a bad gig at all.
Yeah.
It's like, and especially if you got kids like I do, like I have to be able to drop them off.
Yeah.
I pick my kids up 4 nights a week. I drop them off 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I have to be there for almost every weekend.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it. Okay, Tony. So what are the books that you're talking about right now? Like, what are your big books that people can go look at right now?
Well,
Besides the one that we're going to start writing together.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the book that we're going to write together instead. Let's do that.
Oh, man.
So I actually wrote this book because Hillary Blackburn,
yeah,
from the Talk to Your Pharmacist podcast, said, yeah, I really need to write a book that empowers women and that talks about leaders. And I was like, you already have a book. You've recorded all the episodes. All you have to do is have the episodes transcribed, put an intro and outro on each of those, and put them in a logical order that makes sense in a book.
Yes.
And she's like, I'm really busy right now. And then she just started her MBA, so she couldn't do it. So I was like, fine, I'm going to go write the book. And so I just started with the meeting that she actually initiated at APHA. And she said she invited a bunch of us to a meetup. Uh-huh. She got us a big tub of coffee from Starbucks, and we're,
yes,
there downtown in Seattle. And I'm like, there's not a single person here that has a regular job. We,
right,
all love our jobs.
Yeah.
And so I started writing about that. And I was like, are there more of these people?
Mm.
And then I put you in the book because you were one of those people. And Hillary was one of those people.
Yeah, I love Hillary.
Todd, yeah, Yuri, all these people.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to write a book together, which will be a bestseller. Oh, yes.
You guys, I just want to let you know, this is very off the cuff. Like,
okay. I honestly think we need to write the template book. You know what? We're so frustrated with people asking us for the template for their next step.
Right.
You know what? Let's just write the templates, give them the next step, and just say, okay, you want to write a letter of intent? Here's a template. You want a residency resume?
Yeah.
Here's your template.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to do well in an interview? Here's your template.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is to give the templates to them, and then give the stories of the people who completely went off the template, because as soon as they started with the template, then they started to realize, okay, this is the direction I can go from it.
Yeah, I think also we are taught to go off checklists. You know, you do this, you get there, you get there, you do this, you do this, you do this, you check that off your list, you do that, you do next. But the truth is the checklist, I think, needs to look different these days.
Yeah, no, and it has to be flexible. Like,
yeah,
I'll get a call like, hey, you got to pick one of the kids up.
Right.
Okay. Okie dokie.
Right, exactly.
4:30 workout, but I will go pick the kid up now.
Gosh.
It's raining. Kids aren't going to have soccer. All right.
Right?
So
right,
that's going to change too.
Yeah.
And so
this is how you do it. Are you ready? Okay, you figure out your strengths. So number one, ask questions, ask thought-provoking questions to people around you, like,
okay,
your boss, your manager, your...
About yourself, right?
Yes, this is all self-reflection,
okay,
mode. So
okay,
asking people, what am I good at? What am I known for? You know, when people come to me, what are they coming to me for?
Mm-hmm.
When managers give you feedback, what is the feedback? When clients come back to you and say, wow, I liked you because of XYZ. Or when people buy from you, they say, I like to buy from you because XYZ. Or when your customers or patients come back to you and they say, oh my gosh, you helped me so much with X. We have to get really clear on our strengths and our innate strengths, like just our God-gifted, mm-hmm, strengths. And then from there, this is like just off the bat, right? So from there, think about, like, what do you like spending your time doing? And what can you kind of get lost into? Hello, we're getting lost in this podcast right now. And then from there, start engaging in something like that you're good at and see where it takes you. That's one thing. That's just one thing. Another thing for going through a career pivot, the checklist item is first commitment. You have to carve out space, time, energy for reflection mode of, am I willing to commit to what? And once you just define the commitment level, it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, know that you're committed to something and that something needs to be a bigger vision for yourself. You might not know what it means, and that's okay. That's the art of navigating life, right? Navigating your career. And I think the commitment, the following your strengths, the getting comfortable being uncomfortable is like the three things that I can talk about right now until my eyeballs bleed out, because all of this stuff, when you're living in status quo, when you're living in the constant of one line, you tend to stay in complacency mode. But when you can experience new things and put yourself out there and see what lands and see what doesn't, then that's when you start to kind of get off the checklist mode and see what works. The tribe, find your tribe. Yeah, find your support system.
They need a group though.
So,
talk about your new thing, because your new thing is a group.
Well, so there's like five different ways I can look at this. One, first and foremost, you can't look at anyone and say, I need approval. I need some permission, because the truth is only you can give yourself permission to do something different or to follow your own passions or dreams. Once you can look at yourself and say, okay, I'm committed no matter what anyone says and no matter what anyone else thinks about me, then that's step one. Step two, yes, surround yourself with the people. Like, surround yourself with people who are going to support you and who are going to reaffirm you. And then invest in yourself. Invest in a group of people who are like-minded. So like what Tony was alluding to, so three things. I myself am in a mastermind group. So I am surrounded with people who are entrepreneurs, who are giving keynote speeches, who are traveling the country, talking about their own personal entrepreneurial dreams. And then two, I lead a mastermind group of eight women who are branding themselves as these new entrepreneurs going into different career realms. And it's like a support system. Like, this support system is so unreal. Like, I wouldn't have been able to dream this so perfectly. Like, we're all in different industries. Not all of us are in one industry, and everyone just is in it to support. I told them from the beginning, like, you can make the, it's kind of like your fourth year rotations. When you're going through rotations, mm-hmm. you get to make the most of it. Same with building this community. You have to make the most of the community. If you don't participate in the community, then the odds of you getting anything out of it is very low. But the more you engage in the community, then the more you'll get out of it. So that's mastermind. And then I have now the membership, where it's like, hopefully, you know, my goal is to get like 50 people in it, where it's a little bit more, a bigger community, but it's still a community where you can lean on people for support. But we're all talking about the same topic. So that's the support system. Yeah. Find your tribe, people to like, just love you and lean on you.
Yeah. No, this is awesome. Cool. So now we just got to put it in the book.
Yeah. So two major things that I've come across. And it's personal obstacles and strategy in navigating.
That's three things.
Personal obstacles is one, and then strategy in the navigation.
Okay. Okay. So what's your problem, and how do you get around it?
Yes.
Okay.
Breakthrough and then going forward.
Okay. Sweet.
Are we really like, this is how you write a book? I mean, I don't know what I'm doing.
This is it.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. We just need five. We just need five chapters, and then it'll all come together. But yeah, and like, you literally could take all of your, I could take all of your episodes, what you focused on from the beginning through where you are now.
Yeah,
because you have actually exponentially changed.
I know.
The year.
I know. Oh my gosh, you're gonna make me blush and be awkward. I've changed a lot. Yeah.
So,
is it noticeable? Like, is it? I hope it's a good thing.
No, it's just the amount of support that you're giving people is increasing as you go.
Yeah.
And the questions that you're asking and the people that you're talking to is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Book number 16.
But everyone has
But we
to
need
know.
A title.
Everyone has to, I have a title for us. I think The RX for Success or something to that extent.
No, already been used.
Really? Darn, okay. Oh man, now you got me thinking about a title when I'm just really supposed to be thinking about my membership today.
SoCal, so successful.
So my question is, or my statement is, when I first started this a couple of years ago, I was like major imposter syndrome, right? I was nervous to even talk on a podcast. Yeah. I was nervous to I would throw up before I had to go give a presentation. Yeah. Literally, ask my husband. I was throwing up. Now, but that's what it requires you to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And now I'm like, okay, whatever, Tony. Yeah, let's jump on a podcast. Let's get this one thing for me to do today.
Yeah.
In the middle of my move, you know? I think it's so critical.
Yeah. So, no, but I think that it's when you, something I didn't mention about the book is that I haven't met in person 60% of the people in there, mm-hmm. but I've talked to them.
Yeah.
So we're so connected digitally. And then what's crazy is Brandon and I wrote a book together.
I love Eric Brandon.
And I, Brandon Dyson.
Yes.
And then, so I never actually have to physically be with these people to make money with these people, which is what's crazy.
But all of my work is virtual besides I maybe meet a few times a year for coffee with some clients. But I mean, all of the work I do is virtual. And that's why I'm trying to say pharmacists need to get, you know, we got to get with the times, and this virtual system is just such a great platform. It's so amazing.
Career strategy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to be working on the title.
Okay, good. But, well, Tony, thank you for being a guest / interviewing me on my show. I'm kind of confident that that was more of an interview.
Well, I'll send you an email with what I think this book is going to be, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think we can put it out relatively quickly.
Okay. Well, I want to beat Brandon in that 11 days. So let's do it.
You want to beat Brandon in 11 days? Oh man, I'm going to write a book while I'm in Harry Potter world.
Okay. All right. Don't do that. No. But you know, I'm slightly competitive. So you can tell me to beat Brandon Dyson.
10 days. 10 days. There's the title. Write a career book in 10 days.
There we go.
Yep. Change your life in 10 days.
Okay. Tony, thanks for jumping on. We'll talk soon. And for all the audience listening, I mean, this was fun. So thanks.
It'll be fun.
I'm blushing right now. So
thank you. See ya.
Bye. Take care.
This was just the beginning. If this was your first time listening to the RX Buzz, we welcome you and thank you for giving us a chance. And if you're an old friend, one of our subscribers, we cherish you and look forward to hearing from you. And now we need your help. We ask that you share this podcast with just one person you know who's in the healthcare industry. If this podcast can help just one person, we believe it will have a chain reaction, having an impact on dozens, hundreds, thousands, and someday, millions of people. Thank you for your help. We truly appreciate you. And thank you for listening to the RX Buzz, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.